You are listening to the teaching podcast of Praise Community Church in Mason City, Iowa. For more information about our church, please visit praycc.org.
Amen. Amen. I hope that you all experience here at Praise Community, because my husband and I are just so honored and privileged to be a part of your church family. And this morning, there was just, the Spirit always moves here, but this morning, the Spirit was moving to the extent that I got kind of emotional. So we thank the Lord for Praise Community, for sure. I'm Pastor Christy Early. I'm a retired clergy person that my husband Gary and I chose to retire up here in Clear Lake because of our children and grandson that lives here. And again, we are just honored and privileged to be able to be with all of you. So growing up, I lived in a very small community, and the name of that town was Watchier. And Visit with Carrie, if you don't know anything about Watchier, because Carrie knows Watchier, and I was so excited when he shared that with us our first Sunday. Well, back when I was growing up, there were these huge, huge celebrations on the 4th of July. And part of those celebrations was this big parade. And there were just people everywhere lining the streets and welcoming in all of those who were a part of that parade. I have many, many fond memories for many, many years about being a watcher in that parade and the excitement that it brought. Partially because of the big bag of candy I got to take home. But also, I'll never forget my favorite part of the parade. And those were the horses. We had some very gifted people in that community, surrounding communities, and they would bring their horses, and their horses were just adorned so beautifully. And it amazed me at the care that those owners of those horses took to have those horses looking so pristine. And they would ride through that parade every year. And I just will never forget that. I will never forget that. So a question that I am going to pose this morning for any of you that would like to share. The parades that you experienced growing up, what were your favorite parts or part of those parades? And Gary's going to take the microphone around. If you would raise your hand.
I'll start out with the older generation.
Oh!
Nope.
No. They're supposed to raise their hand, honey. Yes. Deb's got her hand raised.
This will be short and sweet. To me, it was always the marching band, because I love to watch the formations and the... Being a perfectionist, I love the perfectionism of their feet and their timing and just the music.
Amen. Thank you, Deb. Anyone else have a memory?
I remember the tumblers and the people going on the street doing flips and dancing. And I, too, remember the candy that was thrown. So that was also a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm with you, Deb. It's the bands. I marched with on the dance team with the Mohawks, and listening to the drum cadence and the music, it just brought chills to me. It was, and I'm still that way today.
Thank you, Claudia. Is there anyone else? Daniel's over here.
Yeah.
In 89, I was a part of the Assembly of God Church float, which was supposed to be Noah's Ark, and like that, and I had a handle across the top. It looked like a big basket is what it looked like, and had the children on there and everything. And of course, one man was pulling it in his red pickup and driving, and of course, he started out good and slow at first, and like that, but I ended up, well, if you ever see the film that you can get probably through the Chamber of Commerce on the 89 Tournament of Roses Parade, or I mean Music Man Parade, then you can see it. I was running. It looked like I had a bad stomach problem or something, and straining. And I was carrying a bag of candy, trying to throw it out. But I was also running, and of course the truck and the float got blocks ahead of me.
Yes.
And I was still running and like this along the side, trying to catch it. Then I eventually ended up on State Street. It started raining, and I ran as hard as I could to Kentucky, because going down Kentucky, I could catch the Assembly of God Church. And by the time I got to the church, I was soaked.
I bet you were. And,
it was a fun experience. I'll
tell you. Thank you. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you.
I grew up in the 50s and the 60s, and here in River City, you know, Meredith Wilson and our band festival is the biggest parade ever, and it was huge, and I never forgot it because I was a little toddler. I couldn't believe how many blocks of buses and how big it was and how overwhelming it was, and the girls would be throwing their batons on the parade, you know, up in the air. You don't see any of that anymore. It's changed drastically through mm-hmm. my years, but it's something that a little child will never forget. Oh, this city put on this beautiful parade, and a lot of the antique, you know, they hadn't had a mall here yet, so it was the old town, and mm-hmm. I remember the old town. Very still had the parts of the trolley track down through it, and the police would be on a little box directing traffic on a white box at the intersections in Federal and stuff. And I'm not that old, but I'm old.
Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you. And Pam.
Well, I grew up in Mason City. And back in the 40s, you know, the Music Man movie that came out, we literally had 76 trombones that led the parade. Mm. And I loved the sound of those 76 trombones. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
And it was so many schools that were involved at that time, and now they've consolidated and, you know, there's so few. Mm-hmm. But at that time, all of the schools, they had bands and they had, you know, it was just wonderful.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you. Right. Thank you so very much for those responses. Well, earlier, Ashley shared a Palm Sunday reading. The Palm Sunday experience is in all four of the Gospels. But she read from the Gospel of Matthew. I'd like to share another from the Gospel of Mark with all of you. And here we find ourselves in yet another parade as Jesus makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But before we begin with that scripture reading, I invite you to please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen? Amen. And here from the Gospel of Mark, hear these words. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which is one that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied it at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who follow shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. That is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So on that day, there most certainly was so much more going on than initially thought that met the eye. There was more going on than the parade that Jesus was involved in. As Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crosan note in their book, The Final Week, about Jesus' final days in Jerusalem, they write this. Jesus' parade wasn't the only one that was taking place in the city that day. Every year on the Passover, thousands of Jewish pilgrims would flock to Jerusalem to worship and remember. This Passover celebration was a time when Jewish people celebrated the ways that their God had delivered and liberated them from the oppressive Egyptian Empire long ago. They would remember the songs that were sung from the Old Testament that promised the coming Messiah on this foretold festal procession with boughs in hand and shouts begging for the Lord to save them. I would love to invite us to experience one of those prophetic songs from the book of Psalms, and if you would like to join along, fine. If not, that is fine as well. From Psalm 118, 1 and 2, and then 19 through 29. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, 'His love endures forever.' Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done it, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Now, could you just imagine going down the streets with Jesus and this Palm Sunday and being able to proclaim these songs that they had memorized? They had these songs memorized. And we sometimes just think of the Psalms as being words to speak, but they were songs. They were songs. And I just think that that is so beautiful to think of that in that term. So because the Romans also knew what this celebration marked, the Roman governor at that time of Judea, Pontius Pilate, he would come to Jerusalem to keep the peace and to make sure that the citizens did not get any ideas about liberating themselves from the other empire anytime soon. The Roman Empire, at that point in time, it was huge. It was strong, it was intimidating, and it was cruel. So moving up from Caesarea Maritima from the west, Pilate processed into Jerusalem through the largest gate of the city, the Western Gate. He was riding on a war horse with cavalry, soldiers, you get the idea. Soldiers, banners, and troops marching behind him. The streets were cleared, and these large crowds gathered to watch the display. And none of the pilgrims who had gathered to worship that day in Jerusalem could miss that point that was obviously being made. Their celebration of the Passover only was happening at the tolerant pleasure of the Roman government. On the other side of town, this is such a blessing, another more ragtag procession was taking place. Jesus rode a donkey's colt down the Mount of Olives on the east side of the city, surrounded by a crowd of followers. They spread their cloaks and their palm branches ahead of Jesus. And there were all these small children lifted up onto the shoulders of their parents as they greeted him with shouts of Hosanna and the treasonous shout, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Treasonous words. They were brave to say those words. Pilate rode a war horse through the largest gate into the city, decked out in armor with banners waving and troops marching beside. Jesus, he rode a donkey's colt, not a war horse, through a small eastern gate, not the largest city gate. He wore no armor, and he was followed by a group of small children instead of soldiers, waving palm branches instead of banners. There were two parades that day in that city, but they could not have been any more different. One was a military display of this imperial might, and one was, in a way, a very small protest with a poor band of what was considered to be rebels crying out, "Hosanna," or as it is translated from the Hebrew, "Save us. Save us now." You see, Hosanna is no simple cheer. It is a prayer and it is a plea. And it paves the way for what will come. And they had waited so many years for their king, for their Messiah to come. For Palm Sunday is the day that contrasts as we are confronted with a choice between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Caesar. We recognize on this day that this contrast is central to the story of Jesus' life and to our understanding of the gospel. As Borg and Crossan note, the confrontation between these two kingdoms continues through the last week of Jesus' life. As we all know, this week will end with Jesus' execution by the powers who ruled the world. Holy Week is the story of this confrontation, and Palm Sunday is its beginning. Two processions made their way into Jerusalem that day. And as those who seek to be faithful to Jesus today, we are forced to ask ourselves, which parade are we a part of? Which parade do we want others to see us taking part in? Which parade are we brave enough and convicted enough to be a part of? Even if we suffer persecution, which parade are we going to ultimately choose to be a part of? As we once again move through this week, Holy Week, we try to commit ourselves to the way of Jesus. We try to join the band of followers with their palms and their cloaks, their pleas and their prayers. But we know that this is not going to be an easy road. Amen? If we continue to follow Jesus in this procession, we will join him in an upper room as he talks about betrayal and denial and the way that love looks like humble service of foot washing. We will watch as he breaks bread and pours out a cup and tells us that they will be reminders for us of his broken body and his shed blood. Physical reminders of his suffering love. If we continue to follow Jesus in this procession, we will gather with him in a garden and watch as he prays and he pleads for his life. We will watch as even his most committed followers cannot sit and pray with him without falling asleep. We will watch as he is led away, arrested, and betrayed. If we continue to follow Jesus in this procession, we will follow him all the way to a trial. As the cries of a Hosanna are now drowned out with shouts of crucify him. If we choose to continue to follow Jesus in this procession, we will follow him all the way to the cross. As crowds who had once gathered to watch a parade now watch an execution. If we choose to follow Jesus through the end of this week, we will recognize how we, like his first followers and friends, have also at some point in time denied him, betrayed him, or turned away when the path became too difficult for us or too dangerous. And we will be forced to recognize that when we have been asked to make a choice, we so often have chosen the wrong thing. Amen? We have so often chosen to attend the wrong parade. It is at this moment, still to this day, on this Palm Sunday, when we are poised with palm branches and shouts of Hosanna, that we once again are asked to choose. Will we continue along this parade route as it leads through betrayal, suffering, and death? Will we align ourselves with a God whose power is made perfect, not in power or might, but in the vulnerability of love? Who comes on the back of a donkey instead of a war horse, and whose greatest victory is not found on the battlefield, but in an empty tomb. Hallelujah. Will we choose once again to follow Jesus? Like those first followers of Jesus, we don't always know where the path of discipleship is going to lead us. That's never, ever 100% figured out. And perhaps the journey seems too hard right now. There are those of us who have been beaten down by a year possibly filled with uphill battles, struggles, or tragedies. Some of us have been overwhelmed by fear or anger, frustration, or the news of sickness, suffering, and death. We have come to realize how fragile everything really is, and how we, at times, have no control over what happens. Amen? So maybe it's easier for us to wave some palm branches and then gather again next Sunday to celebrate the resurrection and skip all of this remembering the rest. Skip the remembrance of Maundy Thursday and the suffering of Good Friday. Skip the choice between the way of Jesus and the way of the world. Maybe it's easier to show up for the parade, but ignore the contradictions. And yet, Palm Sunday reminds us that despair and hope can travel together on this road. I want to say that again. Palm Sunday reminds us that despair and hope will travel together on this road. We will despair at the brokenness of our world and of our own lives. And we will place our hope in the one who travels alongside us, the one who leads us onward in this strange parade. Hosanna, we cry. Save us, we pray. And then, picking up our cloaks and our crosses, we make our way behind Jesus, knowing that he already has traveled this road before. Jesus never goes anywhere that he has not been before. And he knows how to lead us in that parade as we move from pain to praise, from suffering to salvation, from death to life everlasting. Who do you know that needs to be invited to be on this journey? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word. We thank you that you call us to this roller coaster of a week with you. And Lord, place upon our hearts anyone who has not taken this journey, that we can visit with them and help them to understand that the big picture is the empty tomb. We praise you for this week and all that it is going to hold. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Praise Community Church, including gathering times and events, please visit us at praisecc.org.